Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nails and dirt. Wrestle Me, Mark!
Wrestle Me, Peter!
Mark was just singing a song about...
keyboards, keyboards,
what's inside your keyboards? To the theme of Polly Pocket from the 80s.
No, Keepers.
What? Oh, is it Keepers?
Keepers, Keepers, what's inside your keepers?
What was inside the Keepers?
Keeper's guts. You'd open up their shell, it would screech. It would and then you'd reach in and it was all like fucking organs and stuff.
And some organs would be hard, like kind of, it's like keratin, kind of nearly stuff. They'd be like soft tissue.
Yeah.
But then there'd be like hard tissue and bones and...
If you'd leave them in, because you'd say to the kids, leave them in, right? The keeper would... I mean, it would live for a few days. But kids, you'd say, don't put them in, because like, I want to take them out. The keeper would be going, and they'd pull out the little bits. Yeah, the guts. The
little keeper's guts.
Then you'd take the shell back, and they'd just go, do you know what? We're going to fill it up again. It was just a frame. Keepers in the wild don't have a hard shell. They're just soft.
They're just soft.
Their organs are on the outside.
Because it was like a little kind of snail or something? Like a lot of them were like snails-looking things, and you'd have a key. To unlock
their shell so you could get at the guts.
Could you jimmy them up?
Oh, easily.
Could you drill a lock?
You could go in anyway on a keeper so long as you were strong enough and you were keen enough to get your hands on those innards.
Yeah.
So you go through their eyes.
They didn't have any particular style. I mean, like, it's a bit of a mess, to be honest. Some of them would be horses. Some of them would be little rabbits with glasses on. Like, what a mess.
I've never ever seen an interview with someone who's gone, I'm the man behind keepers. And nobody's ever been interested in it until this moment.
Yeah, K-E-Y-P-E-R-S. Yeah. Keepers.
Keepers.
Keepers. Wrestle Me's going to end.
220 episodes. It's now got to the point where we are discussing forgotten 1980s children's time, which actually leads into our next project.
Hey, who remembers the 80s?
I mean, well, we do, because it's like WrestleMania
1. ECW, that's literally what we're doing over on Patreon.
Look, hey, what a time-travelling thing. Do you know what I did the other day?
What did you do the other day?
I went, do you know what would be a nice thing to be able to do?
Right.
Is to go, how many matches we watched in our WrestleMania Odyssey?
Mark, you're a busy man.
I know, I didn't do it. And I typed in Google, how many WrestleMania matches have there been?
Yeah.
I was sure that someone would have... No.
No one's done it.
People do not treat it like a sport to the point where they're just like, that does not exist.
Well, because they did dark matches, and do you include those? Do you not include those? Would you include those? Because, I mean, there's only like 37. I could go through it.
Yeah.
I could take half an hour and get it done.
I sort of think some of them had 8, some of them had 12. So I think if you added them up, you've got 2 nights, so it's effectively 39 WrestleManias because there's 2 night ones. So I think just under 390. So let's say 387.
And we have talked about every last fucking one of them.
Yes, we have.
Even the good ones.
Yes, we have. The good ones, well, that's probably a
less
third. You know? But look, hey, this is going to be the last Wrestle Me on Main, because this is our last time we're going to be
actually, on Main.
We've only got like 3 WrestleMania matches left.
That makes me feel sick a little bit, Mark. What are we going to do with our lives?
Well, we've got to wait until WrestleMania rolls around and then just do really long shows. Weeks and weeks.
Just weeks and weeks.
You know it. We aren't giving up WrestleMania by any means.
No, I mean, no.
But what we are doing is we are probably going to be doing less on the main feed.
Yeah.
We are going to be taking it to the Patreon. There is a simple reason for this is that the podcasting model doesn't work.
Wrestling fans are better on Patreon.
Wrestling fans are very generous, and I don't think they're aware of how ungenerous advertisers and promotions.
Nobody wants to advertise on this wrestling podcast.
It's worth saying, having done this acclaimed podcast that people, you know, are very, very kind about.
Genuinely enjoy.
And, you know, and I think is probably in the top two or three podcasts of all time.
Yeah.
Easily. Along with whatever happened to George Gibney.
Serial.
And Serial season 2.
Yeah.
The one that no one likes.
The one that no one likes. Yeah,
I'm so pleased with getting out of nowhere whatever happened to George Gibney that I've entirely lost my train of thought. I'm also saying about how great this is. Nope, it's gone.
No.
Right. The annoying thing is if you listen to this, you can just rewind and go, oh, I know what he was talking about. Yeah. I can't do that, and I'm not going to.
No.
So we are going to be talking about WrestleMania, the final three matches. That's
not even the right name of the. It's the Where Is George Gibney?
Is it?
Yeah, it's not even whatever happened to him. I think they know what happened to him.
Personal disaster.
Oh dear.
We're going to look. I deleted all of my previous notes on this.
Okay.
So match number one. We're coming in on Apollo Crews versus the Intercontinental Champion Big E.
Keep listening to this feed to find out what's happening to WrestleMe.
Yeah.
Okay? We are finishing WrestleMe as you know it.
Yeah.
But we're going to be starting something new, something more exciting, and something more time intensive because we're idiots.
Yes, I know. That was the thing. When we talked about what we would do going forward, the big thing that we both had in our head is how can we do this and still make like decent wages by doing a lot less than we do now?
But we've somehow managed to come up with a plan that means that we do twice as much.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
cool. I mean, we absolutely fucking whiffed that badly.
Whiff.
Apollo Crews versus the Intercontinental Champion Big E. Apollo Crews is the wrestler racistly named after Terry Crews and Apollo Creed.
And Apollo Creed, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, they've really thought about that. It's he's new, isn't he? To my mind, I've never seen this guy before.
I think so. I think he's previously his WrestleMania appearances have been in things like the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah.
You will have missed him entirely. What he's done here is he's gone from being again a quite sort of anonymous babyface
to doing his dad's accent or his mum's accent.
That's it. He has rediscovered his Nigerian heritage,
yeah,
and that allows him to do the Nigerian voice.
I trust him with it.
Yeah.
I just don't trust the WWE with it, with a Nigerian drum fight.
I am going to tell you one of the things I find hardest about this is not doing that voice, because I adore that voice.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's a lovely accent.
So nice.
It's a lovely accent.
When he does it, I go, lovely. Lovely.
There's nothing more honest, and I understand why people get taken in by like Nigerian spam emails and stuff like that, because if you ever hear a Nigerian man talk, they just sound so honest.
Oh, it's
and
great.
So cool.
I do hear it and I do go, this is not your accent though, you are from America.
Yeah,
you are an American. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you are doing it. So I was sitting there and going, I mean, I should be allowed to do it.
If that's not your actual
look, if
accent,
I can do a French accent and no one complains.
If I can say that word, why can't I shout it through a letterbox?
I would like to do this. I reckon I could do a riff of 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, this will be the last show and it would never go out.
It's last show, don't worry about it. We're going, if you want more of that, come to the Patreon.
Big E is also proud of his heritage, which is being the biggest of E's.
Yes, massive E.
He's like a delicious chicken nugget.
Massive E.
As you say, Nigerian drum fight.
Mm.
Very much the modern equivalent of the coal miner's glove match, this, where they never explain what it is. There has never been one before.
Yeah. Has there been one again?
No.
Presumably it just went Apollo Crews around.
No. What it is, it doesn't involve the drums, and that's annoying.
Yeah.
So they just go, it's Nigerian drum fight, which means no count out or no disqualification.
Right.
Well, involve a drum.
get a drum in there somewhere.
Involve a drum, because
Have the drums just constantly going,
it's just an ODQ match, isn't it? It's just an ODQ match. In my country, I'm not doing the voice, you see. In my country, we would call that a Nigerian drum fight. Yeah. Oh, why don't we think more about what that could be?
Why would you say Nigerian then?
Yeah,
we say exactly. A drum. You just call it a drum, wouldn't you?
It's a drum, mate. It's a drum.
It's a drum.
Would you like to hear some interesting facts about drums?
I think I would.
A lot of cases of anthrax come from people who have imported African drums with animal hides on them. Mm. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
The first case happened in Florida in 1974. It was a bongo drum that came from Haiti and had given the drummer a dose of anthrax.
Right.
A fatal case happened in Scotland as recently as 2006.
Wow.
Where the chap had bought a contaminated hide drum from West Africa. I don't want to be the podcast that's telling you if you want anthrax, how to get it.
How to get it. But it's
I saw all this on reputable sites. This is the BBC's fault, not mine.
I think the way that you get that anthrax inside your body, though, you've really got to beat that drum hard. So if you're in a bank, it's really hard to get someone to imbibe that, isn't it, really?
Well, everyone will hit a drum if they see it. If you left it in a bank, someone would go, I'm going to get that bloody good pound.
They have killed a lot of people through anthrax, but probably the least offensive bongo I've ever heard, because they are horrible to listen to.
Aren't they? Look, all I'm saying, Pete, is that people who make or play animal hide drums should mention that they do that to a doctor if they develop a fever or skin lesions.
Okay.
I know this seems like, you know, we've been doing this show a lot. Since episode one, I've really wanted to get that message out.
Yeah, sorry, Mark. So, I've not given you that opening.
I just feel like, you know, I would have been very disappointed if we'd come to the end without giving that important animal hide drum warning. Would have been good if that's what Apollo Crews had turned round and sort of gone, what's Nigerian drum fight? Oh, it's just a normal
just
one.
Just an awareness. For awareness.
out he comes. The problem with this match is that up until this point in his career, and he's probably 3 years into his WWE career, Apollo Crews has just been treated like a low mid-carder. Mm. So suddenly now he's got a title match against Big E, who has never been more popular. Credit to Apollo Crews. He's been given the ball and he really, really runs with it.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about this match at all. Nobody's ever said, oh, you know, it's a great little match. It is a great little match.
Oh, look,
nobody mentions it.
A Nigerian general just rocks up for no reason.
That ruins it.
And I don't trust WWE with this. And the commentators give us nothing again. No. They are terrible in this WrestleMania.
They really are. And there's an annoying thing about this WrestleMania. A lot of the times when they're almost like, and you won't want to miss Raw tomorrow night, where you can find out what this is because we've left you hanging.
Yeah.
And it's just, don't use WrestleMania. WrestleMania is
it's the
end
big
point.
Thing. It's Christmas.
Not the start.
Nobody goes to Boxing Day.
Very, very annoying. They do batter each other with sticks in this. And there's a lovely bit where Big E is beating the shit out of Apollo Crews with a stick, and he just turns to Corey Graves. He's at the announcer's table, and he just goes, "This is what you wanted, Graves." Carrying on the thing that Big E has a personal dislike of Corey Graves for months during lockdown, he'd been whipping his jacket at Corey Graves. On one occasion, knocking him out of his chair with the force of his jacket whip. I love that thing of just having a fan favourite who everybody loves, who has got it in for one person sitting there.
A bell end.
Yes, it's the right person to choose.
Yeah, definitely.
They use a gong at one point.
Nigerian gong. Nigerian gong.
I'm glad there is use of a drum.
Yeah.
It should have been part of it. It should have been you have to knock your opponent into the gong 10 times. That would have been... That's exactly what Dusty Rhodes would have come up with.
Oh, yeah. Bong the gong with the head.
Yeah, bong the gong, daddy.
You just gotta bong the gong.
That would have been great. this is a... just great up until the end.
Yeah.
Big E does a spear to the outside. So Apollo Crews is on the outside of the ropes. And Big E just jumps all the way through. Mm. I mean, that really is one of those moves that looks like the least enjoyable thing to put yourself in.
So big.
To either deliver or take. I mean, what's really funny about the way that Big E does this one is he dives into Apollo Crews and he grabs round Apollo Crews's legs as they go. And you can see Apollo Crews desperately trying to get his legs out of the grip so he can at least sort of go, I can land in a controlled way. And Big E, for some reason, has clamped down on that. You're going down like a fucking skittle, right? You don't have any choice.
And this is kind of Big E's kind of hometown show, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah. I mean, he comes out, again, the fucking booking on this, but he comes out wearing a sort of a tabard coat. What's that called? Like a jerkin.
Yeah.
And on the back of it, it says Feeding Tampa Bay.
Mm.
And it's a charitable thing that he's, you know, involved in. He is played to the ring by Wale, who plays Feel the Power. Wale loves wrestling.
Big wrestling fan.
Yeah. He hosted a few WrestleMania weekend shows called Wale-mania. And when they bring him up, they give him the WWE logo instead of the W in his name.
Mm.
That's a sort of dream come true for him. And what they've given here is they've given Big E everything you need. He's charitable. He's good. He's over. He's got Wale playing him in, you know, who's a Grammy winner. He can do everything he needs to do in the ring. Mm. He is on an upward spiral. The fans love him.
And they give him 5 minutes.
And he fucking loses. Just perverse.
Yeah.
A perverse decision. With a match like this, I mean, there's a bit where Apollo Crews does a uranage onto the ring steps with Big E, which is just devastating.
Mm.
This is one of those matches that they, if I was booking, it's so annoying when you hear people doing that. If I was booking after the event, I'd make it better. So I did watch this and I just sort of thought this was the chance for Big E to become a bigger star.
Mm.
And that's what you need. Apollo Crews, you can make him a mid-carder. You can make him a high mid-carder. But what's that going to mean in the grand scheme of things?
Mm.
When you've got someone like Big E, who is on the cusp of becoming a megastar, just keep pushing that motherfucker.
Mm.
Just keep on pushing him. He is the champion at the time of recording, which is November. They've given him the belt. They're pushing him well now. It just seems amazing that at this WrestleMania, they didn't know that within the year he'd be the champion. At which point, you don't have him lose a Nigerian drum fight to a guy who's in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale just 12 months ago.
Yeah.
In comes Commander Aziz.
It's Commander Aziz.
It's Commander Aziz.
It's Commander Aziz.
We don't find out his name until the following Raw.
The commentators are, as I said before, are shit. The camera angle fucks it.
Yep.
It's that bit is just so shit. Absolutely so shit.
In the old days, when you used to have a run-in that was a surprise run-in, it would be someone that the audience recognised from another federation.
Or the commentators could at least give us a little bit of information about who it might be.
Completely.
And why he's getting involved.
They've got this stupid thing of going, we don't want this to look fake. Because if the commentators went, isn't that Commander Aziz?
Yeah.
You'd go, well, how did they know? Because you'd never seen him before.
Yeah.
This is a fucking guy dressed as a military Nigerian general running into the ring at WrestleMania, and he's 6'9". I should imagine he's a signed wrestler with a company.
Yeah.
Commander
Aziz.
Commander Aziz.
You've really messed this up, Commander Aziz.
Commander Aziz had been recently, before this WrestleMania, taking part in Raw Underground, where he was playing a big underground fighter who was managed by Shane McMahon, or a sort of pet project of, called Dabba Kato. Why they just went, oh, no, this is all shit. And they went, do you know what? They said to him, what's your heritage, Commander Aziz, stroke Dabba Kato? And he'd gone, well, I've got, my mum's from Poland. And they'd gone, not good.
No, we can't have that.
Where's your dad from? And he'd gone, Nigeria. And they'd gone, sorry, what?
Bang.
Fucking brilliant.
Because you can't have a black Polish person, can you?
No.
Can't have it.
No.
No.
And you can't have a Nigerian drum fight without two Nigerians.
No, exactly.
In he comes. What a stinker of an ending.
Mm.
WrestleMania again, this is not the place to sort of do swervy shit.
Mm.
You know, this should have been a night where everyone is cheering because Big E has won on the biggest stage of them all. Instead, Big E has been cheated out of a win. And there's a big new guy who I've never seen before that I'm supposed to have an emotion for one way or another.
Yeah.
What a stupid thing to do. Very disappointing. The next match, Asuka versus Rhea Ripley.
Oh, that was... I can't remember how I felt about this one, to be honest.
How you felt, because it involved Asuka.
Oh, Asuka.
Asuka is just brill. I absolutely adore her. She is joyful.
The best bit of this... I do know how I feel about this, because I found my nuts. she goes, at the start of the match, she goes, you are overconfident. It's my favourite bit of any Asuka bit recently.
I love the way that when she's actually introduced as the champion, they say, and you're reigning women's champion, she speaks along with it. But even though she's heard it a lot, she still doesn't quite know what it is.
No.
But she doesn't care.
This match is really good because Asuka and Ripley. Ripley is just so kind of rangy and tall.
Yeah.
And Asuka is just this little brute. It's a wonderful mix.
Asuka's
I love it.
Amazing. And watching this match, I'm not a huge fan of Rhea Ripley. I find her sort of pedestrian. And the reason I find her pedestrian is she wrestles a very WWE style. Mm. She wrestles a big man stroke, a big woman style, someone who's tall and uses their size to dominate. Whereas Asuka is unlike anybody else. She just works the beat of her own drum.
Yeah.
If she was just a black amorphous blob, if she was a black amorphous blob, like on television, they digitized her out.
Yeah.
You could still work out it was Asuka because of the way she moves and the moves she performs. I absolutely think she becomes better with every passing year. Mm. She seems totally at ease in any situation, and she's able to get a match out of anyone that still is really based around her and not her opponent.
Mm.
She is the answer. I mean, she changes over the years as well in her own unique way, but she doesn't look or seem to take like influence from anybody else. It's just Asuka. It was like, what if the woman who comes out of the TV in the Ring films was also a manager of Claire's Accessories and got a lot of stuff free? Out she comes. I mean, she is, and it's strong words this, but for me, she is one of the most perfect superstars of the modern era.
Mm.
There are elements there of people throughout wrestling history who are great. You've got bit of Rey Mysterio, you've got a bit of Rock and Roll Express, you've got a bit of Sensational Sherry, you've got a bit of Bull Nakano, and it is, I think, impossible for anyone to watch wrestling, whether they're a fan or not, to not watch her and find her both beguiling and really memorable. Mm. I think she's so good as well that even when she's in a match like this where she's supposed to in some way be the bad guy because they want everyone cheering Rhea Ripley, who is going to be the new hero, you just find that the audience immediately side with her.
Yeah.
And the longer the match goes, the more behind Asuka they are.
She carries my interest in a lot of these WrestleManias.
She really does. She just seems to be someone who is entirely... she isn't contaminated with that straightforward WWE style.
Cookie-cutter kind of stuff, yeah.
That you can basically sort of go, they're all a bit like Miz.
Mm.
And Asuka is the furthest thing from Miz in WWE.
Yeah.
I think she's so... so wonderful. Oh, at one point, she's just outside the ring and she just goes, wow! And I love her freedom. The fact that, you know, no one said to her, go out and do that. Or she said, when I go out the ring, can I just do a weird scream? Like a sort of injured animal from a folklore, you know.
She's not, but it doesn't seem like overconfidence. It doesn't seem like overconfidence. It seems like just, that's just who she wants to be and who she does.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just cracking.
It's thrilling. It's thrilling to see someone be the very best Asuka that they can be.
Be more Asuka.
The crowd start booing Rhea Ripley, who is supposed to be the big, you know, fan favourite.
Mm.
She begins slapping Asuka on the back of the head when she's on the canvas.
Mm.
And she's Rhea Ripley is Australian. I can do that one. It's not like Nigeria. She begins going, Asuka, they're the best you got. They're the best you got. And the crowd start booing. And there's a moment there where I don't watch it and go, that's arrogant. I go, that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's not understanding the role of the babyface in the match. I don't think she's at that point, because obviously she's going to win this belt. She's not at that point of going, I'm registering the crowd are going against me, so I'm going to go full-blown heel
yeah.
and we'll get something out of this. You don't really do that on your own, off your own bat
at WrestleMania.
But what she's
doing... I'm going to be a bad guy. How are you going to chase this little fly? I'm going to do a shit in the middle of the ring.
I'm going to cut my top open and then I'm going to pull out my bellies. Is that a heel thing? I don't know.
I'm the belly man now.
And then I'm going to reach in and pull out my ribs. Chomping on them. Oh, God.
Keepers.
The problem with that is what it says is it says that she is not aware of what a babyface should be doing.
Yeah.
And that is a...
That's the first lesson you should get, surely,
it
no?
It really is. Don't do bad things.
Don't do bad things.
Yeah. I mean, that is annoying.
Don't be a bully.
There's an accidental three count as well, which happens where Asuka is on her back. And being folded up. And what Rhea Ripley is going to do is pick her up and just sort of toss her up over her head.
Mm.
And she's got her on the floor and the ref goes, 1, 2, and Rhea Ripley starts to pull her up. It's, you know, difficult. And Asuka's still down. And there was a really annoying thing for me there is not so much that you go, oh, there was a three count, the ref didn't count it, clearly it wasn't. But it was like, if you had her down for a two anyway as a wrestler, why would you go, I've got them down for two, now I'll throw them over my head? You'd keep with the going for the three.
Yeah.
And it's just bits like that that I was like, oh, I don't buy the Rhea Ripley thing.
Mm.
What is funny is at this point of WrestleMania, she'd been built for this month after month after month. And this was the obvious place for her to be in the card. 6 months later, after this WrestleMania, where we are now, it seems bizarre that she was ever in that position.
Right.
Since then, she's now stuck in a tag team. She's, you know, losing matches all the time. She's sort of moving further down the card. And it will seem in years to come, people will look at that and go, why on earth was Rhea Ripley in this match? And why was she beating Asuka for the title? It doesn't really make any sense. The other thing that's very annoying about it is she wins with her Riptide finishing move, which is a move that's known as a pump handle slam. And that's a move that you've seen loads over 15 years. And it's one of those moves that isn't like a devastating move. It's quite often used as a transition. And so to see her sort of like, that is my finishing move, it's a bit like if you had your finishing move was a vertical suplex.
Right.
And then you were like, oh, now I pin people with it. A bit like, two years. It's just like, you know, it's just a thing. When Rhea Ripley's holding up the belt as well, she looks a little bit like Princess Diana. Even though she's dressed as like Hellraiser. Right. Yeah. She's got a slightly sort of like sad-eyed Princess Diana look. And that didn't really endear me to her much. the trivia bits on this. Rhea Ripley is only the second woman in WrestleMania history to work singles matches back to back on WrestleManias, which is amazing when you think, you know, about how long it's been going.
Yeah.
The first one she had was against Flair the previous year, and then she has this one against Asuka. The only other woman to have previously worked consecutive singles matches at WrestleManias was Trish Stratus, who did it 21 and 22 against Christy Hemme and Mickey James, respectively.
Right.
That is Mickey James, of course, one of the great matches that WWE edited after Mickey James did a rude move. We're not talking about it on the last episode. What did you think of Rhea Ripley? How do you feel about her? Do you look at her and go, "Oh, she's like someone we used to have at XFM"?
Moved on quite quickly.
Hugely into who is it? New Year's Day, I think.
I did watch that, and they
play that, and I was like, this sounds exactly like the sort of quiet bad metal you got in 2005.
I think
has it not moved on?
But that band, I think it's the lead singer of another band doing the theme rather than their band. And I didn't really. It's one of those kind of like Hollywood rock bands.
Yeah.
Where they play the Strip every night. And they play Whiskey a Go Go or whatever. You're like, I don't know what this is. This is just a fucking carnival. I have nothing to say about this.
I don't buy it. Over Halloween, Rhea Ripley put a lot of like photos on Twitter. She's really into horror.
Right, okay, yeah.
And she's got like pictures in her house, so she'd be dressed as like a Freddy Krueger.
Right,
or whatever. And they're all really into Chucky, all the female wrestlers at the minute.
Yeah.
There's lots of photo shoots with them with Chucky. And at Halloween,
they're not Chucky themselves.
No. Halloween, one of the wrestlers, Sari, she dressed as Chucky.
Right.
But Liv Morgan did a thing holding the Chucky doll and stuff like that. And for me, I'm like, that is like that is... You, do you know which case I'm talking about?
Say again, which?
That to me is like the video nasty case that was brought up and cited a lot of the time in the murder of James Bulger.
Right, okay.
And for me,
I remember that is
like the one horror trope. And I know they're Americans. They don't know about this. But for me, that is like inextricably linked with that. And every time I see it, I sort of go, that's fucking disgraceful. That is absolutely unacceptable.
I guess so, yeah.
A cultural difference.
Yeah, you do see that sort of thing on like everyone's got the same fucking costume on Instagram. There's only like three pools they seem to pull from.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley's house, which is in the background of some of her Halloween photos. I'm not peering. It's very much like,
I have,
you know,
found it on Google Maps.
She's got things
just
like,
just having a look.
She's got quite cheap like Camden Market spats with a candle in it.
Yeah.
But then she'll have a pentagram on the wall.
It's like the sort of set.
It's like 23. You know, it's not a fucking lifestyle choice being a Satanist, right?
You'll get over it.
Yeah.
You'll be like Emily Booth doing Channel 5 shows about compendiums about spooky films.
Yeah. It's. I mean, I did look at it and I did sort of think, you are wasting your money on a load of old shit. I really did. And I thought, you know, please save your money. I know this stuff does not look expensive. It looks dirt cheap.
Yeah.
But I was, just don't buy all this silly nonsense horror stuff. Old man sitting in his podcast telling millionaire female performers in their 20s what they should and shouldn't buy with their hard-earned money. I'm glad this show is coming to an end. It's disgraceful. stressful.
You are overconfident.
They then do a little recap of the Orton versus Fiend match, because clearly they thought it was going to be such a sensation.
Oh God, yeah.
Didn't they? That they had no idea we would never, ever want to see it again. It's misplaced confidence that this was going to be great. And here it is. We see it twice on the same night. And the commentary script in this is fascinating for me, because the whole thing is geared towards them saying how dominant the Fiend was and how Randy Orton could do nothing.
Yeah.
And then the last line, they have to go,
spooked him up.
And then Randy Orton won. And that was because this match was changed pretty much on the day.
Right.
Today, it's been in the news that Bray Wyatt, there's been some, obviously he's been doing some, you know, slight sort of like surreptitious interviews recently. But they've said that one of the reasons his contract came to an end with WWE was because he was very outspoken about his direction and the creative plans.
Yeah.
And most of it stemmed from the WrestleMania match, that he said, I was then told I was going to lose, or he's been reported as saying, I've been told I was going to lose, but there was no direction. There was no reason for me to lose when I came back. Unless there was a plan, and there was no plan. And the more he complained about that, it seems the more Vince McMahon went, this guy is stinking up the joint with doing all my ideas exactly how I ask him to. And that was the reason he was fired. So even watching that little bit the other night, I was like, wow, this isn't a thing where, you know, they just misjudged it as well. Mm. You actually go, God, this little bit here, you're watching the highlights of the reason why Bray Wyatt's career is over.
Yeah.
You know, in WWE. He will go on to something great, I'm sure, going somewhere. And it will be better done. It will just be better done. Hulk Hogan Pete is back.
He's
with
back.
Titus.
He's having a dance.
Oh, yes. Titus has a big thank you to the fans at the stadium. He really reads that off the auto cue like it's the first time he's seen it. It's in weird order. And out comes Bayley.
Yes.
She can talk in a way that neither Titus or Hogan manage at all. She is so used to being in an arena over the last 7 years that she can just come out with total confidence and just deliver.
And she shouts over, and she knows that she needs to project a little bit, and she can't you can't just mumble. You've really got to throw facials in there. You've got to work hard.
Put the energy back in the room, you know, and she does that really well. I'm not a fan.
Such a better horse than both of us.
Isn't she? And she should have been the host. She's a current star. She's also not racist. Not talking about Titus O'Neil. But I'm not keen on this brief period where Bayley looks like a sort of Jewish chat show host from the 80s.
Because I don't know where this has come from. I presume this is a long-standing thing, but this is the first time we've seen this character.
They gave her a talk show segment called Ding Dong Hello.
Right, okay.
So Ding Dong Hello.
Kind of, she's Maureen Lippman.
Yeah, the Maureen
the
Lippman.
Advert.
Or Sally Jesse Raphael, if you remember her. There's a weird sort of subsection of women she looks like, and they all do look identical. They've all got the same clothes, glasses, hairstyle. And I don't quite know what it is.
What it is.
But, I mean, I don't know why she didn't get a match on this WrestleMania. At this point, she isn't injured or anything. They just decide not to do her. And then they're probably thinking, well, she'll be doing stuff with Hogan and the NWO, and that will be good. But all they do is humiliate her.
Yeah.
And that is what you don't do with your active stars. Mm. If you'd have had Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then you're like, oh, we've brought back, I don't know, fucking Salvatore Belomo. And Salvatore Belomo comes in.
Patreon.com/wrestleme. If you want to hear
that
more about
that. That is why he's on my mind.
Maniac.
If he'd have come back and Stone Cold had gone, what you doing, you big fat sack of shit? And Salvatore Belomo had just punched him, and Stone Cold had laid on the floor, and Salvatore Belomo had gone, that's a punch, and ran away. That is what they're doing with Bayley here.
Yeah.
And it's so stupid. They do it because what happens is out come the Bellas.
Mm.
The Bellas have been inducted into the Hall of Fame at this WrestleMania, along with RVD, Molly Holly, the great Carly, a true legend.
true treat for the eyes.
Ozzy Osbourne, who appears on a photograph. He's not even going to do the Zoom at this stage. Eric Bischoff, Rich Herring.
I don't know where I am.
A backstage man.
Help.
Gets
help
the
me.
Warrior Award. And Kane.
I'm getting taken advantage of, Sharon. I'm just a money tube now.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? It's the post the Osbournes, everyone was like, it's really fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem fun anymore.
If you want to go back and watch the Osbournes, and I work for a station that's doing the kids from the Osbournes.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a spooky house, looking for spooks in a house.
Uh-huh.
And you do look back at the Osbournes, you say, was that any? He was just a man who's brain jelly.
Not going well.
No.
Shannon.
This is always... It is a funny thing now
I'm
when you
scared.
See...
scared. They cut out the bits where he's just scared.
That's it, he's scared a lot of the time. The worst thing about when you see Ozzy Osbourne now is you go... I don't know how this is going to go. And the unpredictability of it is so unnerving. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I don't like it either.
Don't like it.
He shouldn't be put in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Out come the Bellas.
Out come the Bellas.
Again, I mean, this is WWE believing that people who come to see WrestleMania are going to cheer the Bellas over Bayley, over legitimate fan favourite cult heroine Bayley. They do not deserve to be booking wrestling with angles like this. They just don't. The crowd boo the shit we're out of the Bellas when they begin beating up Bayley.
Mm.
And they really boo. And there is Bayley rolling down the... You know, have we sacrificed the hardest worker of the, you know, no crowd era?
Yeah.
Just so that we can have a fucking 2-second shot of Nikki Bella grinding on Hulk Hogan. Is that worth sacrificing
Bayley
for?
When you say it like that, Mark, yes. There was actually in this very room a mate who lives in New York. He's a comedian and he went on two interviews for a writing job at WWE at So where's the
he was Stamford, Connecticut.
He was talking about the Connecticut the building where
Titan Tower.
There's a big Andre the Giant, I think. And he's no interest in wrestling.
Yeah.
And he got through two rounds.
I was about to say he's probably done really well.
Yeah, yeah. And because they don't like, because they think it's SNL and they don't like people who like wrestling.
Yeah.
And he said it was the weirdest thing because he met some of the writers, like the usual writing room, just fucking t-shirts and hoodies, suits. Just everyone's wearing suits.
It's mad, isn't it? There was a really famous story that someone on the WWE writing team had won an Emmy for a show they'd done.
Yeah.
And they came in as a joke. They were like, they sat down and they went, oh, oh, I wonder what this is. Here, embarrassing, you know, and popped the Emmy on the table.
Yeah.
Sacked immediately. Sacked immediately.
And brilliant. How dare you?
It's a strange environment.
World, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Just can you imagine writing, like having to please Vince McMahon's kind of very 1980s carny tastes with gags. Gags are so subjective.
I could make it work. Do you know what I'd do? I'd go, what wouldn't I like to see? I'll pitch that, but I'm going to add the fact that you go in at the end, he farts. And Vincent Mann would just be, this fucking guy gets it. This guy fucking gets it. Yeah.
Will it be a Nigerian drum? No.
I love it. And then Nikki Bella. And he'll go, yeah, yeah. And I'll just give him a wink. I'll go, you know. Like that. And he'll go, I do.
I always know. I'm Vince McMahon. I'm on the Instagram doing rip curls.
I would hate that. There's a little advert that follows here, and it's an advert for, they sort of go, here's the documentaries that are coming up. Mm. When they moved to Peacock, they were just like, fuck this shit. They had no interest in doing anything. Mm. They fired the guy who had made some of the most acclaimed documentaries they'd made in recent years. And the documentaries were a really, really key part of the appeal of the network.
Yeah.
Apart from, you know, obviously the archive. The documentaries were great. Fresh content, it would come up. They have the advert for this one about the super fan Vladimir, who was a guy who was there all through the 80s and 90s, always in the front row.
Yeah.
A sort of tall, rangy guy with glasses, thick glasses.
Yeah.
And you'd see him in all the early WrestleManias.
Yeah.
And they decided to make a documentary about him called Superfan.
Nice, nice idea.
Brilliant idea. Mm. And it was all about his love of wrestling.
Mm.
And it's never appeared. And it's still there in this fucking trail where you go, it was made, it was finished. And they're just like, we don't do that anymore. Don't. I that is now the great holy grail in wrestling for me.
Oh, it's next to Kevin Nash's COVID film.
Yes.
Which the trailer dropped today. Oh, amazing.
What?
It doesn't look as fun. It looks too, they've aspired to be something good.
Oh no.
But it's not in a funny way. It's in a semi-professional way.
Oh god.
And the lighting's good, the script writing is terrible, and the actors are shite, but manageable, not embarrassing. It's kind of like
I mean, look, like Money Plane. You'd look at Edge's Money Plane and you'd go, that seems like it could be quite good, but it wasn't. And it was perfect in a shit way.
Yeah,
it was the best bad film.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people go, it's so bad it's good, and you watch those films and you're normally like, this is just fucking bad.
Yeah,
Money Plane is so bad it's good.
Yeah,
it's such a sweet spot.
Yeah.
How can Kevin Nash's I've Got to Kill COVID Bats film
I think
not be unbelievable?
I think one of the things somebody I watched the trailer, but I didn't get that sense, but it sounded like he and certainly on the IMDb, they've updated the plot effectively.
Yeah.
And it says Kevin Nash is going in to shoot homeless people to stop the COVID-19 outbreak.
But the trailer
doesn't give me
finally,
what I need.
Someone has the balls to say, you know what we should do? We should work out COVID restrictions. The easiest way to keep everyone safe is to shoot the homeless. Amazing.
You see?
Oh, that is
the ones who live outside. Yeah.
God,
Kevin
sake.
Nash.
The other documentary that they have made and that's never come out, and it was all scheduled, and they were basically 2 days before, they were like, oh, we're going to put it on a later date, is one about Lex Luger.
Right.
And that would have been really the return of Lex Luger to the sort of WWE world. Obviously, he had problems with drugs, with substance abuse, with the law. And he was also sort of, interviewed when Miss Elizabeth, who was living with him at the time, died of a drugs overdose. So they have always kept him very much at arm's length. Those two documentaries seem to me like the missing, that holy grail, in the same way that for years, you know, it was Bret Hart versus Tom McGee and that finally surfaced. This is one of those slightly worrying things where it's locked inside WWE and it would be difficult to work out whether or not it's ever going to come out, see the light of day. And seeing that little bit in that WrestleMania, I was like, oh, fuck, I want to see that so badly.
Yeah.
So badly. Oh, super fan. Oh, please.
Give me it.
And then we get to, Pete, the main event. Not just the main event of this WrestleMania. The main event of the last 3 years of Wrestle Me, the podcast, Pete.
Right.
I mean, amazing. Amazing change in 3 years, huh?
You know, what do you mean, as in?
There's a giant pandemic, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of it. Personally, I had a baby a year in.
Uh-huh.
That seems like quite a big thing.
I bought a house.
You bought a house. You moved in with your partner.
Yeah.
I probably did something good as well.
You got your houses rendered.
Yes.
The paint rendered in front of your house.
I fell into my house off the scaffolding.
Yes.
I mean, this has been a monstrous trip.
Yeah.
Monstrous trip.
The word monster. I still worked. I'd lost my job at Absolute Radio.
Yeah.
Left Absolute Radio.
That's right. I became vegetarian.
Yes, you did.
I gave up smoking.
Yeah.
That's all been through WrestleMe. Become painfully woke.
Ruined your computer with vape juice.
With vape juice, yeah. They don't tell you that when you give up smoking.
What, that you will ruin
you your computer? You will ruin your Mac with vape juice, and then you'll have to come up with a weird daisy chain of keyboards and USBs. They should mention that. This is the main event. It's Roman Reigns, the WWE champion, versus... I always get his name wrong now. He's gone back to his other one. Daniel Bryan?
Yep, Daniel Bryan, yep.
Versus Edge.
Bryan Danielson.
He's now Bryan Danielson. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the combinations of Bryans and Daniels with the Sons, because it could be Bryanson, I find almost impossible now to get right.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon had panicked about this match. The main event was set to be Roman Reigns versus Edge.
Mm. Did we need the third guy? Did we need our third three men stuff? Is the triple threat ever good? I can't remember last time.
It's a bit of a spread bet. I mean, what happened here was... Vince McMahon, just before this match, had a couple of wobbles. One of the wobbles was, when we go back in front of a crowd, we don't actually know how they're going to react to either heel Roman Reigns or good guy Edge. And there was a possibility that when they came back out, everyone would go, oh, yeah, no, we hate these two.
Yeah.
What is this? They just didn't know.
Mm.
And so Vince McMahon also had seen Edge on a Raw and suddenly thought, Edge looks very, very old. He looks very old to be in the main event at WrestleMania. He's got a grizzled salt and pepper look.
Yeah.
Which, when he came back, looked spectacular.
Yeah.
And as time had gone on, he got more tired on the road. And he just looked a little bit old.
A little bit haggard. His eyeballs are always trying to escape.
Yeah.
He got
a bit gaunt.
Yeah.
A little bit like, sort of, if someone said, this is Russell Brand's uncle. And you'd sort of go,
he lives
oh,
in a tent.
Meth.
He looks like a man. Edge does look methy. He does look
definitely methy. Bless him. Crispy meth hair. And so what Vince McMahon did was he went, well, I'm just going to have an insurance policy. And that insurance policy will be Daniel Bryan. Although, I know the fans love Daniel Bryan, but I do not know why. That's Vince McMahon's sort of thing, is he just goes, I'll put Daniel Bryan in there. They love him.
Yeah.
I can't see what they see in him.
So I don't really know how to pitch this. I'll just put him in there.
They do. And the problem with this, really, for Daniel Bryan going in, was Bryan had been sort of almost having a scaled back run in the previous months. It seemed like he was thinking about sort of working backstage. He was mentoring other superstars, and it looked like he might be phasing himself out. So suddenly they're like, actually, we want you to be in the main event of WrestleMania. It came a bit out of nowhere. It was out of the blue. It's a really weird one, this main event. And I don't know.
I did not enjoy it. I enjoyed the match itself.
It's a good match. Yeah. I mean, there are three guys who, they have... With Roman Reigns, this is the first WrestleMania where he's getting the response that he's supposed to get.
Mm.
And the changing into a heel has made him into a proper superstar. He doesn't have any doubt. The crowd aren't split as to whether he's any good. There is no booing because people don't like him. Mm. There is booing now because he's the bad guy. And it's a change that if they'd have done 3 years ago, I think people would be, would have been happy then. It's finally come. People have been waiting for this heel turn. And he comes and he does seem like the biggest star in the world.
Yeah.
That is great. The problem is he's going up against two guys who in the previous years have both retired and then they've come back. The amazing thing about Edge, I think this was 10 years to the day that he had retired. This right. WrestleMania took place. That is astonishing.
Mm.
But you've also got Daniel Bryan had retired 3 years before with a head injury. So there's something about, can they make new stars? They've made Roman Reigns, but who else can they put? Who else could have been in that main event from this card?
Asuka.
True. Everyone who was in this match had already wrestled twice before in a once before in a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Mm. So Daniel Bryan had won his big title win at WrestleMania 30 against Triple H and Batista. Edge had lost his at WrestleMania 25 against John Cena and The Big Show. And Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 31, he'd had a match with Brock Lesnar, which became a triple threat when Seth Rollins cashed in his Money in the Bank, and yep. he then lost that match. This whole setup had very much followed the original Daniel Bryan build.
Yep.
So it didn't feel that fresh, and it felt like Bryan was a late addition, which was a bit strange.
In the way they set up the match as well, the VTs, like he's obviously the last one there, and it's like, and then this.
Yeah.
Like, okay, right.
They'd previously done it back in WrestleMania 30, where Batista had won the Royal Rumble that everyone wanted Daniel Bryan to win, although I think he wasn't even in it, if I remember. And then he had been added to the match. Well, they did something similar where Edge had won the Rumble, although a lot of people had wanted Daniel Bryan to go to WrestleMania to meet Roman Reigns. In the end, they had Bryan lose to Roman Reigns on the way to WrestleMania, but then they put him back in. Mm. So there's a mirroring of his original classic run, but sort of one out of desperation rather than one that was an organic thing that the fans had demanded, which made that so exciting. The will they, won't they? And on this one, there wasn't the same sense of, oh my God, you know, this is happening. This was just a sense of going, okay, so they're doing that, are they? It was a bit of a strange sort of feel.
Mm.
Reigns has spent the last 6 years as the company's top star. This is his fifth WrestleMania main event, I think, in a row. Mm. That is, no one else has come close. I mean, that is just remarkable. This is actually the first time as well that he's come into a WrestleMania as the world champion and not challenging for the belt, which tells you a little bit about the staleness at the top of the card there. Oof, terrible. This is also his first WrestleMania match as a heel. And the very fact that he comes in as the champion on that, you can tell that something's shifted and things are going much better. it is really good.
His voice has got lower in this one. Like, he's somehow has this rumbling voice range.
He does. That
he always had, but he's kind of gone down a decibel. Now he's a baddie.
He is. Weirdly, he's had new teeth as well. And he's got very big new teeth put in, and they're very, very bright. And in a weird way, if he'd done that as a fan favourite, you'd be like, you fucking clueless tit. As a bad guy, having new teeth, you're just like, that is great. That is really fits the gimmick. That's exactly what someone I don't like would do. Edge comes out dressed in all white as the sort of, you know, if you like, the super baby face. He looks a bit like a big Enzo Amore, if you remember Enzo.
Yes, I do.
He is very, very over. But he does have those strange red pouches under his eyes. Looks a bit haggard. And Bryan is popular.
We should point out that Edge is not on meth.
Well, we should point out we don't know whether Edge is on meth or not.
I thought about that. I was like, do we need to do that? Because if you said any other drug, but meth's just funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Meth's a bit of a...
You think you know meth? Yeah.
Imagine meth came back in a big way in the podcast world in... Men in their 40s just taking meth to get through another podcast record.
If I have to listen to any some of the podcasts I've heard recently, I think etc. I sort of set it up wrong, but you can see where I was going for that. Imagine that was funny. out comes Roman Reigns with his terrible CGI AI thing.
Yeah,
which doesn't really work.
Yeah, the AI stuff. I think someone listening must be in the business of motion graphics. Now, I think why a lot of it looks bad is that the pixel count that the images are being rendered on are smaller than 4K, which is presumably what it's been filmed at, or 8K, or whatever it's been filmed at, right? So you get these sort of animated, I think in video games you call them jaggies. So the corner of them are quite jaggy, and they look like video game graphics, and they don't need to be because we've got the technology to render this better. Even, like, bearing in mind, we're only ever going to watch this live or, you know, on the network afterwards. Give us like a high def quality version that comes in after the event.
Yeah.
If you really need this high processing power and make it look better than it did on the night.
When they do like advertising on football.
Mm.
That looks better than this. It looks a lot better.
What do you mean, as in like a scoreboard and kind of all that stuff? Yeah, because it's rendering it at a higher... It's not always kind of stuck in the... It doesn't match as where the camera movement is, but yeah, it looks better because it's rendered at higher definition than the actual
images.
Shit. But it looks poor because it just looks like a video game, and yeah. And you know, this is real life, baby.
Exactly. Look, they've got a big AI. he's got his t-shirt on that says "Head of the Table." I am obsessed with that being a thing that gets over.
What do you mean, as in?
Oh, I'm the head of the table. And you're like, oh, well, so you sit at the fucking head of the table. Well done on dominating your fucking
table,
kids' seating arrangements. Daddy sits at the head of the table. that how you get your kicks. You go, the head of the table is the best part. I sit here. Fuck you. There was something Cody Rhodes said about, I can't even remember what it was. It was the first sort of chink in the armour where you just went, is Cody Rhodes a massive prick? Where there was something where you sort of
this is daddy sauce.
But he'd written, daddy eats first.
Oh, daddy eats first.
Daddy eats first.
It's a sort of thing, like a film where like a man is like just grabbing men and like in a shed. Like you've been caught in a shed in some Hicksville, USA town and some guy in a gimp mask comes out and goes, daddy eats first.
Yeah. Completely.
It's really sexually aggressive.
It is. And also that thing about daddy, it's just like, what could be better than like really imposing your will on a fucking family that love you?
Daddy
does
first.
This. Daddy does that. Daddy's number one. You
daddy
know.
Eats first. Is this something that dads say ironically?
Yeah.
Daddy eats first. That's funny.
You know, daddy takes the first potato. take your fucking potato, shove it up your arse. It's really weird. And that head of the table, I'm the head of the table. Look, sit where you fucking like, mate. You know, don't get your knickers in the fucking twist range, you big knob. Just amazing. Heyman is great here as well. Paul Heyman, out he comes, and he's the perfect accessory for a bad guy, because what he sort of represents is, he represents a manager, someone who is swindling the contract.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I love managers in wrestling, because what they have is that real world feel of the boxing manager, you know, the sports agent.
Yeah.
All those people who come out and are sort of stopping you getting to
what
the star.
Yeah,
the star doesn't have to talk to the interviewers because his agent is in the way. I love Heyman's role in this. I think it really, really works. A great accessory. It's silent at various points during this match. No bigger than when Michael Cole is running down and he just goes, it's a big fight feel. He says, don't tell us that, because,
it's the main event, mate.
That's what the journalists will say, or people will feel.
Yeah.
You don't need the commentators saying, it's a big fight feel.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's the main event, mate.
We all agree this is the best match ever. What is this coming from?
If you write anything else, you're lying to your people.
It's a no DQ match as well, so Jey Uso begins super kicking everyone. Again, you know, no DQ. Why don't you just bring 50 people with you? And just go, guys, just really, you know, pummel the shit out of Edge and Roman Reigns.
Start
up in
a fire.
Them. Yeah. Start.
No
bring,
DQ.
Bring a gun. Daddy will shoot you unless Daddy pins you. So lie on the floor and don't move. You know, I've won WrestleMania. Daddy's won WrestleMania.
Daddy's belt.
There is a point where the crowd, and I don't think it's because this is a good match.
Yeah.
You know, everyone works really, really hard. And the good thing about a triple threat, while they can seem a bit choreographed, it just means there's no break in the action.
They are
just taking over and boom, 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 boom.
I like the submissions and stereo thing where they
great.
And then they
doing his crossface.
Yeah.
And then as Roman Reigns is about to tap, there's a good bit he puts a chair leg in his mouth, in Roman Reigns' mouth. And there's a bit where Roman Reigns, who doesn't act very often, so it's quite nice to see him do it, he looks just like Zippy from Rainbow. His mouth's come out and going,
not my new teeth.
Oh, Roman, you can tap it. That was George. It was very difficult to work out. Tapping out. And in comes Brian, grabs Roman Reigns' hand as he's about to tap out, and then puts his yes lock on. And it's a great visual, exactly what you want. And that nice thing of, Edge was about to win, now Brian saved the day, and yet neither of them can now win because he's got no arms left.
But then they can't resist fighting each other, Edge and Brian, which is good. I was like, you can't resist being naughty.
You can't resist it. odd to see Edge doing that crippler crossface as well, considering last year at WrestleMania, they had that bit with Randy Orton where he sort of hung himself with a weight belt.
That's right, yes.
It's a strange thing where annually.
Sneaking back in.
Edge is sort of giving you reminders.
Flying headbutt.
You know, yeah, exactly that. Sort of, you know, I've got like Wolverine scrapes on my tights. There's something about it that I sort of go, it's happened twice now.
Yeah, you think they're trying to reclaim it a little bit.
If I was a headmaster, I would go to Edge and I just go, look, once I could understand that it was a mistake. This is looking a bit like a pattern. Okay. So I want you to tell me.
Yeah.
I don't want you to lie.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me, are you paying tribute to Chris Benoit in your WrestleMania matches? Okay? I won't be angry. I just need to know.
I don't want to know about your meth problem. Edge does not have
it's
a meth problem.
You've got to agree. It's weird.
It's just weird.
Do we need to go over what he did again? Because we went over it a lot, didn't we? And it wasn't fun then.
No, it's not fun now.
The passage of time doesn't make it more acceptable.
No.
And hinting at it, that's corrosive, isn't it? It's corrosive.
Let's go edgy.
There is another big triple threat match that happens at WrestleMania, which we purposely didn't mention during this one. And that, of course, is Triple H, Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit.
I see.
Regarded as being one of the best triple threat matches, certainly probably the best triple threat main event WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about it. It is weird when you do that in a triple threat main event of WrestleMania, you pay a little bit of tribute to the man who did that. Let's stop doing that.
Let's put that away.
Really good. The basic end bit is there's a concerto on Daniel Bryan by Edge, and then Jey Uso interferes, which again, it's WrestleMania main event. Don't need people interfering in the main event. And Roman Reigns does a concerto.
So a concerto is chair underneath the head, chair on top of the head.
It used to be an Edge and Christian sort of speciality. Back in the days before concussions, they would just get a chair and whack it on either side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bang, like that.
Yeah.
And now they do it where they go, lay your head in the chair, daddy hit the chair.
Yeah.
And it goes clang, and you go, that's safe. That's a safe way of doing it now.
Daddy's class action suit.
Reigns drags Edge over and then lies on top of both of them for the three count. A great sort of, you make Roman Reigns look incredibly dominant. Mm. That you've got the two top contenders and he hasn't just like beaten one of them. He has beaten both of them. There is no point in them coming back for any more individually. This is over. He then at the end is trash talking them, which is absolutely the correct thing to do. That you don't just stand there going silent. You just go, I'm a bad guy and I'm going to play it to the hilt.
Mm.
And what do bad guys do? They go over their defeated opponents and they go, you didn't have it.
Mm.
You aren't the head of the table.
Yeah.
You get the last potato. You get the cold peas. You get no daddy sauce, no HP sauce, no tartar sauce, no vinegar.
No sauces at all.
No sauces. All. You have dry fish fingers. You don't get vinegar. You don't even get salt.
No.
Good. I like that.
Can I have a gherkin? Of course you can't.
The only person in this house who has allowed gherkins is Daddy. The thing I would say about this is the pinfall is clearly Edge's pinfall.
Yeah.
Because he's been put on top of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, so that's how it should work.
If he wanted to pin both of them, they need to be side by side, both with their shoulders on the mat, and then he lies over them like a weird sort of... I mean, that would look weird. It's too
like a Superman over the top of it, yeah.
Yeah. When tag teams have that thing where they're dominant and they pin their opponent, there'll be a guy on the floor.
Mm.
One tag team partner will do the pin and the other one presses down with his hands. That guy pressing down with his hands is not getting the pinfall.
No.
It's the middle one.
Yeah.
You
the lucky Pierre.
The lucky Pierre.
Yeah.
The lucky Pierre in the daddy boy sandwich. So at the bottom, bad boy.
Bad boy.
Middle, lucky Pierre. Top.
Daddy.
Daddy. Now, Daddy has found himself worryingly impotent in the boy sandwich.
Yeah.
Because Daddy is doing a move.
Daddy's getting
the press down.
Yeah.
On the lucky Pierre, which does not apply.
Exactly.
It does not apply. So Edge won this. Bad booking. Edge pinned Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns was nothing to do with it. He was just touching him
and
while
now he's
did
trash
it.
Talking and he's won nothing in my eyes. Nothing.
I would have loved this if they'd have done that. And then it was terrible fucking booking. And Edge had gone, I done the pin. And then Roman Reigns had gone, what? Oh, damn. Oh, damn, no. And then they'd given the belt back and it would be great. Within 6 months of this, of course, Daniel Bryan will be no more. He will be Bryan Danielson, and he will be in AEW, and he will be just, you know, tremendously tearing the place up.
I do know. If he's not allowed to use Daniel Bryan, I still don't know why Daniel Bryan. Sorry. Bryan Danielson. I don't know why that's allowed.
There is.
Because that is, it's a bit bulk bargain, isn't it?
It is. But his original name before he went to WWE was Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Which is his real name.
Silly.
Bryan Danielson. It's so difficult to get right. Bryan Danielson. So when he goes to WWE, they fuck about with it, call him Daniel Bryan. He is now back under his real name, and you know, he is so brilliant to watch. I mean, his match against Minoru Suzuki, which you can see on YouTube, it was on AEW Dark, I think it was. I mean, just the guy has made the entirely the right decision to leave a company that would have treated him incredibly well, but to say I've only got a limited number of flight hours left, I've only got a few air miles left in the tank.
Yeah.
Let me just go out there and do everything I want to do. Let me wrestle all the people I've never wrestled. The fact he's doing that guy loves wrestling more than you do. That guy loves wrestling more than I do. He just lives for it. And it's so good to see him just not have that end of a career where you go, I could have done that. He's gone out there and he's done it, and it's working at a level that is almost unbelievable how great it is.
Mark, will he know when to stop? Because part of wrestling
never
is because that's part of wrestling, isn't it? Never knowing when to stop.
Even
and
Nikki Bella, even Nikki Bella has said, I can never return to the ring because on the last thing, I've just fucked up my neck entirely.
Yeah.
Even if Nikki Bella comes the end of the road through strenuous wrestling, what chance does Daniel fucking Bryan have? You know, or Bryan Danielson. That's going to be really difficult. That's going to annoy me. I'm never going to get that right now. So it does seem amazing to me, though, as a long-term fan, that you can have someone who is in the main event of WrestleMania and who that same calendar year, before we even get to Survivor Series, has gone somewhere else, AEW, and is on a main event level. And just WWE did fight very hard to keep Daniel Bryan. They fought very hard insofar as Vince McMahon even said, we will try and have a relationship with New Japan Wrestling so you can go and do this G1 tournament you keep on fucking going on about. We will try and make that a business arrangement so that we can keep you. Mm. They worked really hard. And the fact that someone at the top flight has just gone, do you know what? It's not really about this anymore.
Yeah.
It's about wrestling. Mm. A need to go and wrestle. That is a thrilling, thrilling development for anyone who loves it.
And
really is.
And it's a strong message to, the world that where the action's at.
Absolutely. It's a strong message to anyone in WWE as well who is like, I remember when this was a lot more fun.
Mm.
And it should be a huge, huge warning to Vince McMahon, because Vince McMahon should be looking at this and going, why are they leaving?
Mm.
And if they're leaving for those reasons, they need to look seriously into how they can stop people going. And you stop people going by going, we need to change the product. This product, the weirdest thing about it is the wrestlers don't seem to enjoy it. A lot of the fans don't really like it week to week.
Mm.
And the figures are going down and down and down. So it just seems incredible that no one's gone, we need to change this. Because they've got TV revenues, they're just like, well, that's safe. It's guaranteed money. You know, we can do anything.
Mm.
I do worry that they're driving into the floor. And thank God that AEW are there. Because AEW, as a wrestling fan, me, I want to see wrestling.
Mm.
I don't want to see a, you know, 5-week thing about Baron Corbin losing a hat in a casino. I kind of want to see people wrestling.
Mark,
it was
on.
A bad example. That is a bad example. Oh,
sounds brilliant.
Well, look, that is it. I hear there's not going to be a WrestleMania next year because WrestleMania stopped.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, it's just a guaranteed TV money. A lot of people are like, well, who's going to be talking about this
in a
thoughtful way?
Well, we are. Because we're going to come back. We're going to come back to do WrestleManias. And we're going to keep doing that until one or both of us die. Next year, I mean, it will be fantastic that we go out there next year.
Get out there,
I think, you know, we're going to try and do that. And, in the meantime, we're just going to keep you fucking amused. We've been here now for 3 years, Pete.
Yeah.
When you started, you knew nothing about wrestling.
No. And to be honest, watching so much wrestling has made me realise that I know even less.
Yeah. But
I do know some of their names now.
The best thing about this is I think you genuinely love wrestling now.
I do genuinely love wrestling. And my Twitter algorithm is just wrestling stuff. People in my life who loved wrestling right throughout their teenage years, I now have something to talk about them, talk to them
it's
about.
Good,
and it's opened a lot of doors for me personally, I think.
Yeah.
I notice that sort of look that my partner gives me when I mention the Junkyard Dog. and a bit of love has fallen away there.
Yeah.
But it's been replaced by the warm bosom of wrestling.
Yeah.
And I've really, really enjoyed these 3 years we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, more than anything else, Mark, it's given me a chance to hang out with you.
Yeah, I know. That's been the nicest thing. That has, you know, we when we started this, we were like, oh, we don't see each other very often. And I think when we started this, it was more of a sort of like, well, we'll see how it goes and everything. And yeah, it's been great. For me, you know, it's really rekindled my love of wrestling. And the reason for that is I never talked about wrestling before. I had no one to talk about with it. And I wouldn't even think about doing it. Mm. The number of people that I know throughout the years who have come up with me and said, I had no idea that you loved wrestling. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
Everyone from like just people I used to work with at Radio 4 who were like, I had no idea. And then they want to talk to you about it. And they're just like, you know, to people I've known, you know, for years who have just come out and said it. The thing for me has been just having a big community of people who feel the same way about wrestling as I do. And just, you know, getting to talk to people on a regular basis about how great wrestling is has been such a thrill. The people that we've met through doing this as well, the people who listen regularly, come to the live shows, who we hear from, you know, on social media and everything. Such a fucking nice load of people. I don't think there's a single dickhead that we've dealt with in the entire time of doing this.
No.
Everyone is so delightful. And it's just been, I mean, it's really hard to think of anything that could have been a more positive and brilliant experience. You know, when we first started, I remember being really nervous about saying I love wrestling. And coming to the end of this, I can just say, you know, absolutely hand on heart, I love it more than ever. I love the people who, you know, love it like we do. And it's just the best thing I think I've ever done. And this, you know, I'm so proud of wrestling. I'm proud of all of it. I'm, you know, the content might be a, you know, load of old shit. the opinions might be absolutely way off and everything, but everything about it has been fucking brilliant.
Oh,
and,
Mark.
It's been a delight. And, you know, you have been the best person. You're such a fucking delight. I can see you touching your edit button.
I've torn a bit of a coffee cup off and I'm sort of tearing up because I'm nervous about emotions.
Oh, Peter. Well, look, hey, I often end the show by saying hello, everyone. You know, goodbye. I don't say hello, everyone. That's entirely wrong. but we just got to love you. Hey, Peter, I love you, man. It's been such a fucking great trip.
I love you too, Mark.
It's been so fun to do.
Intensely.
And look, it's not going to end.
It's not going to end.
We got more to do. We are going to be doing it over at the Patreon.
Because you thought this was all ending because, you know, no.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's fucking ending because they're capitalist scum. That's what it is.
Look, the simple reason is we've come to the end of this journey.
Yeah.
We've done 3 years of WrestleMania.
It would take you, I think, over 10 days to listen to everything that we've put up there.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Good God, when you put that into perspective. Back.
It really does.
That's amazing.
That is a lot of things.
That's a body of work I'm proud of.
It is, but you know what? It's quite nice to just cap it off. Because we set out to do all the WrestleManias and we've done them.
We've done them.
You know.
And we didn't scrimp. We didn't sort of rush over, oh, we'll do WrestleMania 12 and 13 together. We'll do 3 episodes on George the Animal Steel. The show's got longer because the show's got longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't tit about.
But, you know, I think, you know, the worst thing would be to carry on that thing when people go, oh, yeah, I mean, it's totally gone away from what it used to be.
So we finished it.
Yeah, it's done.
We finished everything we were planning on doing.
Unlike other people in the podcast world, we know when to get out. We've done it now.
What's that, Dad? You've written another book about horny women? So we are going to be moving over to Patreon. Sorely. We're going to be...
They think they're Antifa, but actually, they're like fucking capitalists.
Capitalists. And we are going to be moving over to Patreon. The RSS side of things, advertisers, most of our listeners are over on Patreon anyway. If you've never indulged, if you've never heard us do any like WCW, any kind of WrestleMemes stuff over there, you get the full picture. We are going to be continuing. You will be hearing... a short announcement on this RSS feed letting you know precisely where we're going to be, precisely what we're going to be doing, and there's some really, really, really exciting stuff that we've half talked about.
We should say as well, it's not fucking reinventing the wheel.
It's wrestling.
It's more of the
still
same.
Wrestling.
But I think it's something you actually go, oh, I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. You know, look, if you're a huge fan of the USWA during Jerry Lawler's run of 1990 and want to hear that picked apart in great detail, have we got an announcement for you? No, that's a lie. That's a big lie. Look, so that is it for the very last time.
Yeah.
Here over on Maine until like next April when we probably chuck something back. I've been Mark Haynes. That guy's Peter Donaldson. And this is Wrestle Me.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete!
WrestleMe is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.